All right, we're going to see what happens here. A guy put this on my heart 2 years ago. I just thought about that because I wrote it down when he puts it on my heart. And I preach it before 2 years. But I don't, anyway, whatever his reason is, and it might be in some of my fleshly desires not wanting to preach it because it's kind of hard, not hard to listen to, but hard to present. Let me put it that way. So y'all pray for me. Let's see what I can do with it. You know, and I speak real good English, right? Real good English. I don't, no flaws. I'm fluent. So we're going to start off right off the bat with, I'm going to try to pronounce where we're going to be at in the Bible. So Google told us, you pronounce it this way. Haggai. However you want to say it. It's in the Old Testament. I can just tell you, I tell you where it's at better than I can tell you how to say it. It's on page 1284 in my Bible. So I just told myself, if you paid attention to that, if I know the page number, I had to go into Index to look, see where it's at, because it's a short book, so it's tucked in there. We're going to be in chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And that's another thing. It ain't about me, but I usually don't like to read a lot of verses. But we're going to take this, we're going to break it down, and see what we can do with it. So let me, now, here's what another part of this English is going to come in right off the bat. Y'all ready for these names? All right. In the second year, King Darius, this is verse 1. On the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. All I want you to get out of that is you go home and look it up if you're interested in who all those people were. The message is not coming from that part, but that's the introduction. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now, this here's what it's going to apply to us today. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Keep that in the back of your mind. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panel houses while this house remains in ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. To your ways. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth is crops. I call for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else. The ground produces? On people and livestock and on all the labor of your hands. Dear Father, let's take these few moments together today, open our minds, and let's unpack these verses, Lord, and how it applies to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. That was a lot. And I know the first question you might ask, what in the world has that got to do with us? Okay. Glad you asked, because we can talk about that. And so let me give you just a blip of what's going on. Okay. The Israelites are been in exile. The Babylonians took them, put them in exile. So they finally get to go back to their homeland. They're starting to go back. God tells them to build him a house, a temple to worship in. And we'll talk about that in a minute. They started it. They built the foundation. And then they got sidetracked by worldly things. They started building their houses. They started doing their stuff. Remember how I like to say that word, stuff? Okay. God hadn't told us to build a house for him, a temple. Because now we got Jesus Christ that lives in us as Christians, right? We are the temple. We are the house. But the big question is, we're going to wrap up at the end today, is what is your stuff that's interfering your relationship with God and all what he has told you to do? That's what this boils down to. We all got stuff. We all got things we got to try to take care of and do. But we're going to try to put that in perspective on how we need to handle that. Because the bottom line is, we live in a culture today, celebrates prominence. If you want a name, if you take notes, all you people take notes, I see y'all writing. Just kidding. A problem with prominence. What is that? We live in a culture that celebrates prominence. We want bigger houses, better careers, larger platforms, more recognition, and greater comfort. All that in itself, there's nothing wrong with that. But here's where the problem arises from. What is prominent in our lives is no longer what is prominent in God's heart. Are you putting those things first? Put it simple. Is it overriding your relationship with God, with Christ? Or are you spending all your time trying to climb to the top of the ladder of that career? And like I said, that in itself is not bad. But it is if it supersedes what you're doing with Christ, your relationship with Christ. And that's what we're going to try to talk about. And I told y'all they were trying to build their houses, right? So God, the issue wasn't they were building their house. The issue is not that we're making a living. The issue is not we're trying to promote or we're trying to buy a bigger house. That's not the problem in itself. We need to get that, understand that, okay? But here's where the problem was lying. It was that they built their houses instead of God's house. There's all this stuff taking precedence over what God wants you to do. How you live your life. What he called you to do. I heard a preacher just this morning on the radio coming in. And I don't even know who he is. I caught the middle of it. But he was talking about, as a Christian, you know, like a pastor is called. You know, he's called the pastor or whatever. But every Christian is called for something. You know, what little or big it may be. Is your life, what you're shooting for, your goals in the world, are they superseding that? What has become most prominent in your life? Just think about it. We need to take a look every now and then at ourselves. Is there something that's taking prominence over God? Maybe, maybe not. Or it has before. You know, just think about that. That's the question we're going to talk about, or we're going to try to answer, is what has become our prominent in our life. So let's break it down. The first four verses. The priority problem. He said, it is time for you yourselves to dwell in your panel houses while this house lies in ruins. The people had returned from Babylon. God had given them authority. God had given them another opportunity. The foundation had been laid. Then opposition came. Instead of trusting God, this is where a lot of us mess up sometimes, they postponed their obedience. I want you to catch that. They're not... In itself, they're not necessarily bad people. They didn't reject God on the whole. But they postponed their obedience. Just think about that. Has God ever called you to do something? Oh, I'll do it later. And later never comes. Just think about just little things like that. He tells you to pray for somebody. Okay, I pray for them when I go to bed tonight. Then that's the afterthought. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about bad people. We're not talking about you doing necessarily bad things, but you got your priorities backwards. Postpone obedience is disobedience. If God tells you to do it, it's time to do it. Now, he may tell you it'll be down the line, and that's okay. But now, God, I need to take care of this first. I need to do that. I need to do this. That's disobedience. And those are how they said this. They said, the people said, the time has not come. They said that. Who are you to question God's timing? Ask that question. They, in their mind, we get to it, God, don't worry about it. We'll do it later. It ain't what God said. They weren't saying they wouldn't never do it. They were saying later. That was the problem. It wasn't an outright just disobedience. It was a smaller version of it. Parents, how many times you told your kids, go clean your room? And they don't do it right then when you think they ought to do it or when you told them to do it. Is that disobedience? Did you specifically tell them, hey, go clean your room right now or at this time? And they don't do it. But they end up doing it. It's still disobedience. That's what I'm trying to drive home. Satan often doesn't have to convince believers to reject God's work. He only has to convince them to postpone it. Most of the time, Satan is going to come in little subtle ways. Just kind of, hey, it'd be okay. And so if you do this, you know, it ain't that bad. It ain't that bad. You heard that before? Oh, I ain't as bad as that person. I never done this. Yeah. It's still disobedience. Delayed obedience is disguised as disobedience. And I talked about that already. Meanwhile, when they were building their houses, their homes became beautiful. Panel houses refer to expensive interior woodwork. That's what they had. That was what they had back then. They had time, they had money, and they had energy, just not for God's work. I want you to think about that. Everybody that participated this week in Bible school was tired. But it's a good kind of tired. That's what we need to look at. Are you wearing yourself out to try to gain the world but not do anything for God? Or are you, I mean, we got to be a part of the world, right? We got to be in the world. We don't have to be a part of it. You know, we have to make a living. We have to, you know, we do build houses. We do this stuff. That's okay. But what's your focus? What's your main focus? They had plenty of time to do what they wanted to do. We had a conversation with somebody this week. I forgot who it was. And I'm not, kids, y'all I'm not beating you up. I'm just, that's an example that comes to mind. And so they got time to do what they want to do, but they don't want to have time to do what they're told to do. And same with adults, it ain't just kids. Now, I jotted down a few excuses that adults, this is your turn now, I'm getting off the kids. Many Christians today, now look, notice I said Christians. Now, I ain't talking about the lost. I'm talking about just Christians in themselves. I serve God after I retire. I give when I make more money. I get serious after things settle down. We laugh about it because we probably said it, a lot of us, at some point. I'll volunteer when life slows down. That's just four examples. Is that what God said? You accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior. Did he tell you, I'm going to save you till you retire, till you're old, you can't hardly walk? Did he say that? No, he didn't. He just said, do it. The reality is life really never slows down. I'm thinking it gets busier. God isn't asking if we're busy. He didn't ask you if you were busy. He's just asking what comes first. Yeah. That's what he's asking. You get a little insight? He already knows how busy you are. He already knows that. And that ain't the question he asked. He asked, what are you doing for me? Jesus later echoed the same truth. Matthew 33, seek first the kingdom of God. There's more to it, but I'll stop. That's what we want to focus on. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all else will be laid out in front of you. It's amazing, and a lot of y'all probably got testimony to this. It's amazing how we can be so busy in our daily lives, but you make the time and effort and to work for God and do God what he told you to do. And somehow, if you let him, if you trust him or rely on him, and he manages our time a lot better than we do. Because you sit back and look, how did I have time to do that? Because God was involved, that's why. Because God was in control of your life. Verses 5 through 6 tell us the empty pursuit. Consider your ways. Remember when I read that earlier, you didn't catch it. I put emphasis on that, and I kind of stalled. That means it's kind of important. We're going to talk about it. Consider your ways. The phrase appears several times. Set your heart upon your ways. Like I said, when you look in that mirror sometimes, we need to look at that reflection. I need to do it too. All of us do. I need to say, John, God, what am I lacking? What do I need? What do I need to fix? Correct. We need to think deeply about it. We need to evaluate ourselves honestly. Another thing God don't want either is his excuses. I'm too busy. I'm working. I'm earning money. I'm buying houses. I'm buying cars. I'm consuming. We're never satisfied. We're never satisfied. That's just human nature, the flesh. You want something bigger, something better, a newer car. And I'm going to close here in a little while and just give you a little insight about what Paul said about that kind of stuff. And every situation in your life, I'm going to give you a little insight. Be content and serve the Lord. We'll get to that in a minute. Whenever we pursue God's blessings while neglecting God's purposes, contentment disappears. That makes sense? Let me just say it again. Whenever we want God's blessings, we want that. But we're neglecting his purpose. It's kind of like going to work. If you don't work, you don't get a paycheck. Right? On the most part. Same thing with God. You want that paycheck of his blessings, but you're not willing to do nothing with it or do his purposes. The human heart was created for God. Nothing else fills it. The people have prosperity without peace. You can be prosperous. You can have a lot of money, but you ain't content. You don't have that peace. Income without fulfillment. Activity without purpose. We just kind of go through life, just mingle along. Next thing you're going to wake up and you're 70 years old and you look back. Don't have that regret, young people. Don't look back and say, man, I wish I... And we all probably got a little bit of that, that we could have done things different. That's just part of life. On the most part, do the best you can to work for God and don't have that regret. Because possessions make terrible masters. You know what the scripture about money? The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. The money itself, not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. God says, consider your ways. God explains the reason for their frustration. He said, you look for much, and behold, it came little. Why? Because my house, it lies in ruins. Compare that to your relationship with Christ today. I'm not talking to the Christian people right now. If you're a Christian, you got that contentment, that joy. Remember, joy and happiness don't go together. We got a misunderstanding on that. You can have joy and be happy, but you cannot be happy and still have that joy with Christ. Whatever your situation is, if you're a Christian, we should have that contentment. He said, he told them, because my house lives in ruins, you accumulating all this stuff, but you neglected me. That's what are we doing that? Are we accumulating all this stuff, but we're neglecting our relationship with Christ? Because of that, he called for a drought. He called for all this stuff to happen to him. Not saying that if you don't follow God, that he necessarily is going to do something, but he can. He can do it. I like how your dad says it. He said, he might not make you, but he's going to make you wish you would have. And that's true. He can make you wish you obeyed. Man, if I'd just done that, I'd have been better off. If I would have listened. God loved his people too much to allow them to remain comfortable in misplaced priorities. If God takes something away from you, whatever that may be, it's for your own good. God knows best. We think we need stuff to be happy, to have joy. Now, I'm not saying when you're broke, I'll just use money for example, it's not good times, not fun times. But are you trusting in God? Maybe that's God's way of pulling you in a little bit closer. Because he said, rely on me. Because everything we accumulate, always still your dad's sayings. He always says, it's temporary at best. Yeah. I don't care how broke you are or how much money you got. We all, each and every one of us, there's going to be one line in front of God. And he's going to say, either come on in, faithful servant, or cast you out. That's what's going to happen. And he's not going to ask you how much money you made when you was down there or how much whatever you did. He's not going to ask you about your stuff. He's going to ask you about a relationship with him. That's what's important. That's what he's going to ask us about. And just think about him discipline. Just think about discipline for a minute. You know, we say a lot is about a relationship. He created us. We're not robots, right? He gives us free will to make a choice. So we make that choice to follow him. We need to be all in. And when he does discipline us, don't look at it as a judgment. Look at it as building that relationship, just like a parent to a child. Just because you discipline your child, that don't mean you love him less or her. That means you're trying to correct them. Put them in the right way. That's what he's doing. That's how he handles that. Sometimes, this is what discipline can look like. Unanswered prayers. Which there's a whole sermon I can do on that. I say unanswered prayers. Unanswered the way you didn't want it answered. Or his timetable. He hears our prayers. But he might not. But how are you praying? Anyway, we get about that. You might have unanswered prayers. You might have financial struggles. He might close doors of opportunities. Or frustration. Let me back up. Door of opportunity. Let me give you a little testimony. Just real quick. So, 20 years ago. I guess longer than that. Anyway, a long time ago, when I was a younger man, I was dead set that I was going to go in the Navy Reserves. I was already working in my career, but I was going to be a Navy Reservist. And I talked to a recruiter, did all this stuff. And I was in Houston about to board the plane to go to boot camp. That's how close it was. There was a clerical error on something. I can't remember what it is now. That they caught me right before I got on the plane. Coming back in. We had to redo all the... Anyway, and it turned out. And I was so disappointed. Because that's what I wanted. I put emphasis on I. I thought that's what I wanted. But what I didn't tell you was, before that, God called me to be a youth minister. A youth leader. I didn't want to do that. I'm going to the Navy. So it was an act of God that literally stopped me from going in the Navy. It literally was. Because it was something that was just so unusual that it shouldn't have happened. But it did. And I was disappointed, and I went through my self-pity. To tell you the rest of it, I became a youth leader, minister, for about 10 years, 12 years. I had more... I guess rewarding times from that and dealing with the youth. Yeah. So if he closes the door, don't think because he's being mean to you. He knows what's best. He knew what best for me. Then I look forward to that. If I hadn't went into the military, I wouldn't have a kid or two of mine, probably. I wouldn't have had that opportunity to grow in Christ as a youth minister. Brother Charter can tell you, if you teach or preach, you get closer to God. And you don't have to do it in open public, but if you get in your Bible and read His Word, you'd be surprised what you can absorb. Because y'all know, y'all hear me every Sunday. I'm not the best speaker in the world. I'm not the best student in the world. But God can do anything through anybody. So, don't get hung up on closed doors. Don't get frustrated. They're not signs that God abandoned us. They are an invitation to return. God removes lesser joy so we can rediscover the greater joy. Like I said, all the other stuff can bring us a temporary happiness and joy. But it won't last. Not the joy that lasts, what he's talking about. So what was so important about the temple? What's so important about us going to church? What's so important about that? God's presence, number one. God's glory. God's worship. And God's covenant with His people. You realize when Jesus died on that cross for you and I, God sent His only Son for that. That was the new covenant. I never leave you nor forsake you. He's there for you. Neglecting the temple meant God no longer occupied first place. Their homes became monuments to themselves. The unfinished temple became a monument of misplaced priorities. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. We get hung up on calendars, itineraries, busy schedules. We all got it. We all got things to do. I get that. But is your focus on... I want you to be... Oh, look at it. Ask yourself this. How many of y'all got a calendar with a year's worth of appointments on it? Most people do, right? I do. But are you, before you do all that, Lord, if you're willing, if I'm still around then, this is what I do. That's okay. That's the difference. That's what we're talking about. Don't just assume that you can do all this stuff without checking with God first. Check with His calendar before you fulfill your calendar. How much are we spending our money wisely? What's our conversations like? Are we reflecting God, the kingdom of God? Are we sharing His word? Are we revealing what truly holds first place? When they look at us as Christians, are they looking at us and say, that's a Christian, but without us telling them? The way we live our lives, the way we carry ourselves? Is that what we're doing? I'm going to catch us up to modern times. That was Old Testament reading, which applies to us. What they was dealing with then is what we're dealing with now as the temple, the true temple of Jesus Christ. How much are we neglecting Jesus? He did everything He could do for us because He wanted to, out of His love. How much are we returning the favor? Which is all He's asking is obedience and what He's asking us to do. Are we doing that? Today, God building another temple, His church. I ain't talking about this building. Y'all can get up. All of us can walk right outside in that field out there. We're still having church. Okay? I don't care about the building. What's our church look like? Are we helping build the church? Like they was told to build the temple, we're told to increase and build the church. That's us. So what's that look like? We talked about that a bunch of times. That's going out, witnessing, talking to people, sharing the good news of Christ, sharing your testimony. When you come into know Christ, all that's wraps in together on sharing the word and building His church. Matthew 28 tells us, just like He told them to build that temple, it was a command. It wasn't if you want to. He told us the same thing. Go and preach His word. He didn't say when you want to or when things look good for you. He said do it, period. If we break it down and look at it as simple as it really is, that's the way He said it. Go and spread my gospel. Are we doing that? We ain't gonna knock these people we talked about in Haggai, the Jews there, because we're doing the same thing today. A lot of people. We play church. We play like we're growing the church. Peter, Osi, says that believers, that's us, Christians, right, are living stones. You're not a rock just sitting there day in, day out. You're a living stone building that church. His concern today ain't primarily the building. It's His people. When Christ is no longer central, everything else eventually becomes disordered. When Christ is first, life finds the proper balance. You want that perfect balance? It's through Christ. Ain't nothing we can do to make it perfect. Except have him live through us. And that's what we need to focus on. You may be going through a struggle. You may be going through a hard time. You may be going through whatever the stuff of this world provides. And you may be on the good side of it. They might be going good right now. I warn you, when it does, don't forget your anchor. Don't forget God. Because it's only a matter of time when something may happen. So stay focused on Christ as all revolves around him. I can close. I can shut up here in a minute, I promise. All right. Ask yourself these questions this week. You got homework, Tommy. You got homework. When's the last time you had homework? What receives my heart? I'm sorry. I should have warned my readers. What receives my best? What do you give your best to? It's just your job. Now, I ain't saying go out there and be lazy. I'm not saying that. Go work. Make your boss happy. But not oversee God with it. God deserves our first and our best, not our leftovers. And society struggles with that. You can see the empty pews. Most people are not here, and I ain't just talking about this everywhere. It's because it wasn't a priority this morning. They had other stuff. Don't look at church. Oh, I go to church if it fits my schedule, or if it nothing going on, or nothing better comes along. I'm gonna tell you right now. At the end, you wish you was that you was had a relationship with Christ at the end, because none of the other stuff matters. What occupies your thoughts? Whatever dominates our thinking often reveals our true priorities. Y'all sitting out there thinking, "Shut up, John! I need to go fishing, or I need to go do whatever." Are you here because you want to be here? Or are you just going through the motions? Where does my money go? You might say, I ain't got no money to go nowhere. That may be true. Our finances often reveal what is most important to us. I'm not preaching on tithing. Not doing that. But you do know that the money that you have belongs to God anyway. He provided the opportunity for you to make money and the ability, and it is his. What am I postponing? Is there an act of obedience God has been calling you to? So listen to these. Forgiveness. There's somebody you need to go forgive and you keep putting it off because you don't want to. Your generosity, where you're putting it off because you ain't got time right now. Your ministry, before you say, I'm not a preacher, that ain't what that means. Ministry, your calling. Everything that's done in the organization of a church building is a ministry. It takes everybody. What about repentance? Something you need to clean up? Y'all going to have an opportunity here in a minute if you need to. What about baptism? Now, let me be perfectly clear on this. Baptism does not save you. Just because I dunk you back here, that don't mean you're saved. What meant you saved was you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and then as obedience to him, you got baptized because he told you to. That's the difference. Just because you went under the water don't mean you're saved. It's that relationship with Christ that saved you first. But are you that person, like this list said, you are a Christian, you accepted Christ, but you're putting off baptism because you don't want to be in front of people, or you don't want to. I take you down to the pond if you want to. What about sharing your faith? Y'all sharing your faith like you're supposed to? All right. When God regains first place, everything else begins to find its proper place. What has come? Oh, we already read all of those. I'm close with this. Two things. God is not looking for perfect people. He is looking for hearts that will once again place Him at the center. When God's prominence is restored, His blessing follows, not merely in material ways, but in the deeper gifts of His presence, peace, and purpose. That's what truly counts, ladies and gentlemen. That's what you need to hang your hat on. And I told y'all I was going to close. Y'all go ahead and come forward. We're going to do an invitation. I want to read just a little bit of scripture here to you. Maybe if I find it. I didn't mark it. Paul tells us in Philippians. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned. Here's a good lesson for all Christians. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. I don't care what your situation is. If you want that true joy and that peace of whatever life throws at you, Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen. That relationship with Him. Everybody stand. We're going to play a song of invitation. If you don't have that salvation with Jesus Christ, you can do it right where you're standing. You can come up to the altars. You can come up to me. Whatever needs to be done. The Holy Spirit can work anywhere. If you need to repent, we were talking about earlier, you need to throw some stuff on this altar and get rid of it, now's the time to do it. So everybody's heads bowed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and this opportunity to hear your word and open our minds and hearts to what you have us received, Lord. Just be with us that we will put you first. We will make you our priority, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.